This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
And welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Wednesday, the 15th of September, 2021, and you are on the clock with Erin Green. On the clock, we engage organizations, institutions, social and cultural leaders, and ordinary people to better understand the impact of public policy, private sector development, and emerging social and consumer trends. On the clock, we have conversations that help us understand and navigate a rapidly changing Bahamas. Today's show is brought to you by the Department of Inland Revenue. And I have a brief message from the Department of Inland Revenue for you about the employment. Did you know that VAT-registered businesses who are tax compliant are eligible to participate in the government's Employment Incentive Program? And can now receive up to $400 per week in tax credit for up to 10 new full-time employees. Visit atlas.revenue.gov.bs to apply. This offer is valid until December 31st, 2021. And again, this message is brought to you by the Department of Inland Revenue. Well, good morning, to all of my audience in the Bahamas, outside the Bahamas. We have got one day left till general election 2021. And I have a guest today. His name is Mr. Rock Morris, a unionist in the country. I'm going to bring him on shortly. We've got a little bit of housekeeping. I want to start here by saying this to my audience members. I would like to apologize for the shortened amount of time that we have had to discuss the upcoming election. I know that it's not your fault, and you know that it's not my fault. You know that we have been subject to a snap election, which means that we have less time amongst ourselves to organize and to discuss things and to talk about what is important to us. And so I apologize if I have not provided enough space for you to do that, because I understand how important that is. I also understand how frustrating it is to be told constantly, consistently, persistently that you have an obligation, you have a duty to participate in something like governance, to participate in governance, to do your part as a citizen. And every time you try to step in, you try to step up, you find that there's no real space for you there. It's almost as if these activities have been organized without you in mind. So I understand how frustrating that can be. So let's get to it very quickly. I would like to say good morning to Mr. Harrington Frazier, and I hope I got the name correct. Mr. Harrington Frazier is, I think, hails from maybe Cat Island, but lives and has claimed Andrus as his home now forever. Mr. Harrington Frazier is an independent running in the general election 2021 for North Andrus and the Bimini's. I just want to put a short note here. See, yesterday's show, the day before's show, entitled Why I Am Inclined to Spoil My Ballot. Well, let me tell you about the Frasers from North Andrus. I went camping. Well, my business partner and I packed up our little buggy boat and we went to North Andrus. We went to go check out the farms. We went to go see what type of produce we could capture and bring back to Nassau in our little bubbler via the mail boat. And while in Andrus, we intended to camp out, find a nice, safe, quiet place to camp. Let me tell you about Andrus people. Andrus people say the first thing is this: as long as there's a house available, ain't nobody have to sleep outside. They didn't really, I don't know if they didn't understand the concept of camping where people volunteer to sleep outside, or if they didn't care. And, or, it's a third option, whether they say, look at these two bougie Nassau women talking about they want to sleep in the bush in Andrus. They must don't know what wildlife is. And they refuse, anyway, everybody we met in Andrus refused to let us settle in with the idea that we was going to sleep outside while we was in Andrus. But the Frazier family, I had met the Frazier family before, when we bucked them again, these people treated us like we born in their family, like we grow up with them. I'm talking about just model citizens. I never forget the dinners that I've eaten there. Because like I said, I've been there before. The dinners I've eaten there, the care that they took with us. And so, I'm not even certain if it's Harrington that I met amongst the clan of Frasers. But he come from good stock. I just want to say good morning, Harrington, and good luck on your attempt to represent the Bahamian people. You already representing them. And I think that's a good thing, too. Another note I want to touch on. Today is supposed to be, has been announced and dedicated as a national prayer for the 2021 elections. Now, I made a run through the paper this morning, a glimpse, and I didn't really see anything about it. But I think a note has to be made here. Because I'm still in the spirit of why I am still inclined to spoil my ballot. I just want to ask this question. Who decides in a secular country? I think we are a secular democracy. We're not a theocratic state. Who decides in a country where everybody have the right to refrain from religion or practice whatever religion they want? Who would dedicate a day to prayer but not indicate clearly that it is a day of interfaith prayer, right? Who would not make it blatantly clear that this space and these activities are open to religions and religious leaders of all faiths in your country? Because your national day of prayer is also attached to the election, which is a national non-religious activity. How insulting, how offensive it is for non-Christians to sit and listen to people talk about their Christian national day of prayer in a country that is not a theocratic Christian nation. Marginalized and excluded and left on the sidelines in their own country. I want to ask another question. Is it just a political gimmick? In the rush and in the haste of the snap election and paying attention to all things political, did somebody realize, oh, we didn't say a prayer? We forget to say a prayer. You know, we start everything with a prayer, right? I just want to know, is this how we're running our nation? Is this how we're running our country? Or do we still think that this is a private club, like a political party? Let me remind you all, that's different from a country. I want to say on behalf of all non-Christian members of our society, they obviously made a mistake. They do not know what they have done. And we shall forgive them for this most egregious and heinous mistake. If we are going to have prayer in this country, it must be interfaith prayer. We must learn to respect each other. We must understand our commitment to ensure everyone can live a life free of violence. And I want to segue quickly to this quick segment on political violence. We could see in the paper there was a shooting in Bimini. I know the shooting is still being investigated by the police. The shooting occurred after an FNM rally. And last night, again, another report of serious violence where a PLP campaign worker was stabbed to death outside the Yamacraw headquarters. Now, we don't know if this second incident is connected in any way to politics, except for the fact that that is where the two people encountered each other. We are not sure, but it leads us to, and I have to reiterate this because we got this one day before the election, to what I think is one of, if not the most important question for every political candidate, every politician, and every person working in the civil service and in leadership to ask themselves. How will I cause or compel Bahamians, other people, people that I am responsible for, that I have a duty of care to, how will I cause or compel them to discipline themselves? You see, the one question, one of the questions that has not been answered for me yet, not in this election, not the election past, not the one before that, is this question. How will you compel Bahamians to discipline themselves? There's a lot to talk about in the paper today. I want to say, pick up a copy of The Guardian and look for the segment, or pick up your papers and look for the segment about the Department of Archives and the 50th anniversary supplement. It's called Preserving the Past to Protect the Future. I'm going to read some text quickly. Caller, stay on the line, please. I'm going to get to you in a second. Tech says, good yawning, Miss Green. Can you please tell me what time the PM is talking today? I didn't expect him to say anything today. Y'all don't follow his modus operandi. I did not see an announcement, but if I find it, I will report it. Another text, Aaron, I need help because first time in my life, I'm undecided who to vote for. Have you ever considered spoiling your ballot this time and immediately committing to building and creating a party that you can vote for the 2026-27 election? Another text, great show as usual. Please do not wait 5 hours, 15 minutes, and 19 seconds on that line while dodging COVID just to spoil your ballot. If you're undecided, flip a coin. Oh, no. Oh, no. What? Flip a coin. No, I don't gamble. Mm-mm. People get the governments they deserve. That's why I govern myself. Great show as usual. This election will be interesting because if Brave loses, that will be the end of an era because he will be too old to run for PM again. And if the PM win, he beat the odds of a 2 in a row as PM. That's an interesting spread. It is. In fact, one of the things for me that disqualifies Brave for leader is simply his age. Nothing more. Unpopular within 6 months after election. Of course they will. Of course they will. That's what happens when you're not honest and coherent and clear with people. When they eventually find out the play, they're going to be upset. Another text, why are you always focusing on the 1% but complain when government focuses on the 1%? Who's really, Ms. Green, who said anything about Christianity? Every single pastor or religious figure I have heard speaking about today's National Day of Prayer has been Christian. I'm not even sure if there was an attempt to reach out to leaders of other faiths to ensure that we have a truly national day of prayer. Another text, good morning, Aaron. Should the government change? Would your sponsorship by Inland Revenue expire abruptly? No, I don't think so. I think that there's a difference between what is government and what is politics. I think that you do our civil service an injustice when you suggest that they would allow themselves to be caught up in political skullduggery. It is unfair and unnecessary. Civil servants don't operate that way, and the government does not operate that way. When the contract is set to expire, I'll let you know. Which day's newspaper has the nomination day declaration of nominees? I think the Guardian had that. I know that the Guardian today and yesterday have the tally sheets, and I haven't scoured the Guardian, but I would just pick up today's Guardian to be sure. Yes, there has been publishing of the polling divisions. I think that was in yesterday's Guardian and Tribune. Another text, Teflon Minutes will come out unscathed again. Guardian Talk, Clint Watson, and all the other talk shows are... It will fail. Loretta Sands tried to get him. It failed. Ingram recently tried to undermine his leadership by endorsing Sands. It failed. They said he won by default when we wanted to get rid of Perry in 2017. This time he will show them how to really fight and win. So here's my predictions. 22 seats FNM, 17 seats PLP. What an interesting text. What an interesting text. I hope, well, here's what I hope. I hope to see some predictions that people are concerned about the Bahamian people. All I see is FNM winning and PLP winning. I haven't seen a prediction that suggests that the Bahamian people are going to win this election. Okay, Texas, I'm going to get back to the text line in a moment. I got to get to this call. Caller, you're on the clock. Good morning. Good morning, caller. You still there? I am sorry I missed you. Those things and the texts are just piling up, so I had to get through to some of these texts. Let me continue with the text, and then we're going to take a break. Producer, oh, I see you got a call coming in. In a moment, we're going to take a break, and then we're going to get back in with my guest for today. Another text says, I am PLP and I can say Brave is not capable of doing the job. He also, okay, I'm not going to, the text is suggesting that age is obviously a limitation for Brave. That's not why I'm not voting for him because of age, right? For me, I'm looking for a two-termer. I'm looking for somebody who brings a plan and a team, right, that can execute policy across two terms and that can deliver sufficiently in the first term to convince us to carry them on for the second term. And I don't know if Brave is prepared for the long haul. That's all. Not that his age limits his capacity to perform. Let's get to this caller. Caller, you're on the clock.
A pleasant good morning, Ms. Green. How you doing?
I am good, Sparky. How you doing?
I write here.
Good, good.
Proper English is IR. But, you know, I'm listening to some of the things you say, and you've been saying practically every day since the week began, and even last week, about this destroying your vote.
No, not destroying.
Not destroying, but...
Spoiling the ballot.
Spoiling.
See, from the politician's perspective, if it doesn't go to a politician, then it is destroyed and useless.
Yeah, but what I am saying is, why would you take your time to drive all the way to a polling division waste up all that time going in there to spoil.
My ballot sends a message.
Let me use my time, please.
No, we can talk, Sparky.
Why don't you just not vote?
Because spoiling your ballot is different from not voting. See, like I said, the politicians have created this narrative that spoiling your ballot makes it useless, because if you're not voting for a politician, then it is useless. But
who else would you be voting for other than a politician? Only politicians or union leaders go in elections to be voted in. The Bahamian people cannot win the elections. Only politicians can win the elections.
No. A politician convinced you of that. See, a politician told you that. In fact, the only person who's supposed to win the election is the Bahamian people. And the politicians that win the government supposed to be prepared to give blood, sweat, and tears, to sacrifice, and to come out with less than, to come out with more than they have put in.
Yes, but with green. That is a land of utopia by Sir Thomas More, because that is not reality.
So why you, so Sparky, let me ask you a question.
Excuse me, ma'am. No, pause. Mute him for a second. As quick as possible.
Producer, mute him for a second. Not hang up. Sparky, hold on. We having a conversation, right? That's what we doing. The ballot belongs to me. It don't belong to a politician. If you prepared to vote for anybody, whether you, even if you don't like them, even if they don't mean you well, but you don't see an option, why go and vote at all? If you prepared to take anything that comes your way, why you going to waste your time and your gas? See, the vote doesn't belong to the politician. The vote belongs to me, and I get to do with it what I want. Spoiled ballots are red. In the election count, they have to indicate how many ballots were spoiled. If sufficient ballots are spoiled, then a curious, critical mind would want to know why so many people felt the need to spoil their ballot. It's a shame that we have been governed and led by those who are not curious, who have lost their imagination, that do not have a critical mind, because they do not care about what the people are saying unless they are speaking to politicians. It is not a wasted vote if I don't vote for a politician. My vote, and it is important. Bring Sparky back in. Sparky, you still there?
Hello?
Sparky, you going? I'm sorry. I had asked the producer to mute you. I don't know what happened. You're not going to get upset at the producer, though. You get upset at me. Good morning, ma'am. How are you?
Good morning. How are you, ma'am?
Good, thank you.
Listen, I want everybody this morning who are working to the polls to be very vigilant, especially the PLP workers. We got to be vigilant to make sure to watch everything that's going on in the ballot box and inside the center. Okay, now.
Hold on, pause. I don't want anybody to make any statements. If you think that a particular party is up to something, you got to go to the police about that. Now, if you want to say to everybody, regardless of party affiliation.
Everybody, I want them to be vigilant.
Right.
Because they have, what I experienced last week, listen to me, over 30 years, they had experienced returning officers and presiding officers. They had settlers who know what to do. But these people, what they bring in, young people, they don't know what to do. These young people, what they bring from the government beside, you have to tell them what to do. And I don't think it was fair on the behalf of the voters and those people who are working for the different parties. I don't care if it was fair on our behalf. But we need to be vigilant, and we really need to pay attention to what's going on in these classrooms tomorrow.
Thank you. Thank you. Now, let's stick a pin there. I want us to be very careful. I want us to be critical about how we talk about these things, because if we think there's a problem, we don't want to jeopardize the investigation, right? By speaking too loosely about it. But here's, I got to let you go, but here's what I want to say to you before you go. if you have 30 years working the polls, right? I need you to sit down with some of your colleagues and peers that also have that same amount of experience, and I need you to document that. I need you to document what you saw happen, what's happening now. I need you all to sit down and put together a manual of how you're supposed to conduct an election, how you're supposed to manage your station. You got the institutional knowledge and the experience documented.
Yes, ma'am. Listen, I had to tell the presiding officer the majority of things what to do.
I got you.
Really know what to do.
Thank you. I got to go. I got more callers. Thank you so much, ma'am. Caller, you're on the clock.
Good morning, Erin Green.
Good morning.
Well, if you have that time to wait, and all them 3 hours waiting, and Mike actually run up to do for
us. Hold on, pause.
You, girl.
Text, caller, my friend.
The ballot is numbered.
My friend.
Did you hear that on the news last night?
Pause. Okay, so let's talk about it. Two things. I have a law degree. They couldn't convince me to let them give it to me. When I was in law school, we discussed the question of the secret ballot versus a virtually secret ballot, right? And so what we need to do is go into the law and determine clearly whether we have a secret ballot or a virtually secret ballot and why. But if I remember correctly, the AG said that, look, there's a court of appeal ruling that reinstates the old interpretation of the law. Here's the second thing. I wouldn't be waiting all that time if my government could organize an efficient and effective process for once. You obfuscating.
If there's a challenge, right, government should then burn all the ballots. Once the election's over and there's no challenge, so nobody should know what you voted.
I got you. Nobody. Right, once there's no challenge.
No, what they see, the ballots should be burned are the big thing of court. That's burning the ballots. Since the election is cleared and there was no challenge in court, it should be burned.
Now, I got to go. I got to go.
Let's get back at what I think, right?
No, caller, I got to go. I got to go to a break. Thank you very much.
All right.
That's a very important issue that you raised about the ballot, whether it is supposed to be secret or virtually secret, and whether it can be secret if we are going to entertain an election court. But I got to go to a break right now. I'm sorry about that, callers. If you can hold on over the break, that would be great. If not, I got to get to a break, and then I got a guest on the other side. Thank you for the lively discussion so far. You're tuned into Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Don't change that dial. We'll be right back.
Have you heard about the COVID vaccine raffle? If you are vaccinated against COVID-19, you can enter to win amazing prizes like food store gift certificates, hotel stays, beach excursions, and so much more. Even if you are previously vaccinated, you can still enter to win. The COVID vaccine is free, safe, and protects you from severe COVID-19 infections. Don't delay. Get vaccinated today and enter to win. Visit www.vaxbahamas.com to register.
Throughout our lifetime, we must all make decisions. No matter how we choose, the right one just needs to be made. Like having J.S. Johnson Insurance Agents and Brokers as your insurance partner. We've been serving the Bahamas for over 100 years. Whether you need home, motor, marine, or commercial insurance, make the right decision. Call 397-2100 or visit jsjohnson.com.
J.S. Johnson Insurance.
There is a better way forward, and it starts by leading with compassion.
PLP leader, Philip Brave Davis.
We're going to respect doctors and nurses, partnering with them to fix the health crisis.
Deputy Leader Chester Cooper.
The same way of doing things just won't work anymore.
We'll create new jobs and new industries, building an economy that works for everyone.
Join us
and let's change our country together.
This has been a paid political announcement by the PLP.
Good morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. You are on the clock with Erin Green, and we've got a lively show, and I've got a guest coming in. As soon as I read just a couple more of these texts, I got to take one more call. So, caller, you are on the clock. I got 60 seconds for you. Good morning, caller. You still there? No? Let's go to the other caller. Caller, you still there? Good morning.
Hello.
Good morning.
Erin, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm great. I'm just calling to touch on the point with one of your text messages who said something about Brave Davis and his age.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's fair, you know, to say that because he's of a certain age that he hasn't had anything to offer us as a country.
Mm-hmm.
So the Bible says that young man, I call you because you're strong. Old man, I call you because you know the way. So it's obviously something with his age that brings some kind of specialty to our country.
Mm-hmm.
So I know a lot of young people might feel it's the young people time. I'm young as well. But we also need that wisdom and experience to go along with the youth in order to get our country back where it needs to be.
Absolutely. What would be nice or what would be interesting if young people from the PLP and from outside the party would step up and say, listen, this is what this old boy has done to enrich the lives of young people. This is the bridge that he's building, right,
yes,
for us to walk across.
Yes.
Like I say, my concern is I'm looking for a 10-year plan, right?
Yes.
From the in any administration that's about to take over. I don't hear these guys talking about any plan. I don't even see a successor in the works for Cat Island, right?
Right.
You know, outside of Chester, I don't see, and I don't understand why only one person would be prepared anyway. That's the internal party thing. But my thing is, where does Brave sit in the continuity of the mandate? As far as I'm concerned, Brave should definitely be a part of the party. There's no way they should get rid of him. But just like Fred Mitchell, why are they still in front? Why aren't they infusing the party from the, not the background, you know, from the back line? Why aren't they the defense line with the institutional knowledge, with the capacity building training?
Well, you have a point, but at this time, you know, he's the leader of the party and, you know, we are loyal to that.
Absolutely. No, absolutely. And I understand that. Ain't nobody saying that the party should revolt. I was just hoping to see a more public or visible display of succession building and preparation for the future.
Right?
Say?
You don't think that we have that? 85% of our candidates now we're running are young people, you know.
I know. I see that, except I see your point, except at the youth national debate, that articulate young man that they brought back from college or university to speak at the man's name more than his own name or a policy idea. And so I think that it would be helpful for the public to see, right? Not just for people that are intimate with the party to say, well, we know it's happening. You know, justice must not just be done. It must be seen to be done.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
But thank you.
Thank you, too.
Absolutely.
All right,
I can take, well, guys, I got one. Let me read this text, and then I got to get on to my guest. I'm so sorry. The text says, good morning, Erin. I won't stand in line among a whole heap of persons in the sun to spoil my ballot. I just won't go to vote. Okay, that's cool. I mean, people are going to vote anyway, going to vote, and their voices are being ignored anyway. But like I say, I don't think spoiling my ballot is a way. Voting for somebody I don't want to vote for is a wasted vote. But I got to move on to the second segment of my show today. I have with me Mr. Rock Morris. Good morning, Mr. Morris.
Good morning, workers throughout the Commonwealth of the Bahamas.
Absolutely. Please introduce yourself to the Bahamian public wide and far.
Well, my name is Tyrone Rock Morris. I am the General Secretary of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas Trade Union Movement. I've been involved in the trade union movement for the past 20 or so years. I am now retired. I spent some 30-something years working at the Atlantis Casino on Paradise Island.
Absolutely. So we got a brief bit of time. I want to ask you one question to start with, and then I'm going to let you let me know what you want to talk. Over the last 30 years, watching governance and development in the country, I have become concerned about what appears to be the politicization of unions and the labor movement. And I've seen unionists and labor movement leaders garner attention, garner social and credit and political credit while advocating and lobbying on behalf of their union members. And then election time roll around, and then all of a sudden that unionist is running for, not just for a political party, but for one of the big two, the PLP or the FNM. And so I want to ask you these questions. It's one question with maybe two little parts. Has the labor movement been politicized to the point of impotency? It has no power, right? That's sort of the first question. And the second question is, are labor unionists using politics to enhance their labor movement, or are they using labor issues to enhance their personal political profile?
Well, Aaron, the truth be told, trade union leaders have been intricately involved in politics. We can start with a trade unionist, a lawyer, and a politician. We can also start further with the Progressive Liberal Party. A significant number of their cabinet came from the labor movement. And so trade unions or trade unionists being involved in politics is nothing new.
Okay.
We have been doing it from the 50s. From the 50s, we have been doing it. And so it's nothing new.
So
the Progressive Liberal Party, in our view, came out of the belly of labor, like we tend to say from time to time.
Absolutely. So with so many unionists moving into politics, is it time for a labor party, a new labor party?
You know, in 2002, we took a look at that, and that was not well received at that particular time. But however, trade unionists decide to get involved, we support them. We believe we have much to offer. And that is why in this present election, we have a Zane Lightburn, and we have a Kirkland Russell from the Progressive Liberal Party. Of course, there are a number of other persons who are trade unionists who are vying. We have Mr. The gentleman out of Abaco. We have the young lady in Exoma.
Isaac Watson.
That's the name of a few.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, here's another question I got for you. John Pitt was sitting as the director of labor while it appears, or it appeared, as if he was not only campaigning for the FNM, but it appears as if he was vying for his own seat on the FNM ticket. Why didn't the labor movement speak out against that specifically?
Now, you must say the way it really is.
Okay.
There's no doubt that he held that political, what we call a political position.
Okay.
And we have expressed our disappointment in Mr. Pinder and the way in which he has been doing things. The fact of the matter is that he has been a servant of the Free National Movement, not the workers, in his capacity as the Director of Labor.
Or at least it's hard to discern. It's hard to discern whether it's true.
By many of us.
Yeah. I mean, I think those are big things. And I think over the last 4 years, I have not ever seen so many issues at the head, right? At such an urgent point. Not since enslavement of Africans, I don't think. I've seen so many, or majority rule. Let me not be facetious. A majority rule. We haven't seen so many issues on the table. We've got teachers. We've got nurses. We've got doctors, the Senior Consulting Physicians Association. We've got just over and over again, we got immigration and customs officers upset right now. Just across the board. We have got an issue after issue after issue that doesn't seem to be being addressed. Can the workers and the general public expect a drastic shift in dynamic if the PLP win the election?
Okay, let me say this. The reason why, in my humble estimation, why we've been having this myriad of
issues,
of problems, it's because of the lack of respect, number one, and two, the leadership of the Free National Movement, and in particular, Dr. Hubert Minnis, does not support workers. And I am not saying what I believe. I'm saying what he said. Mr. Hubert Minnis has stated to us that he does not believe in unions.
No.
And so that in a nutshell, help us to appreciate why there are so much problems. The leadership don't believe in us, and so the rest follows.
Now,
as relate to the Progressive Liberal Party,
mm-hmm.
I believe that there will be a change. You know why I believe there's a change?
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, for many months this year, we worked, when I say we, the labor movement, the leadership of the various unions, we worked on what we call a workers' agenda, right, where we put together quite a bit of concerns and areas would have, like to have addressed, and we shared it. In April, we went public. We shared it wide and far throughout our country. And we had three, what we said to them, these are the questions you should be asking the persons who present themselves, right? If these persons who present themselves are prepared to work with you and this workers' agenda, they are the persons you should consider supporting. And guess what? Three political organizations met with us. That was the DNA, that was the Coalition of Independence,
mm-hmm.
and the Progressive Liberal Party. The three of them agreed with the workers' agenda. However, the Progressive Liberal Party took it a step further. They said, not only are we interested and willing to work to correct some of these deficiencies that may have existed, we will put it in writing, and hence the memorandum of understanding that was signed on August 25th. And someone who would have put their name to a document, I have to hold them to it. And so I am satisfied that a body that is prepared to do it, put their name to it, is a body that I can trust. And so I am saying to workers of this country, vote your interests. If a party or an organization do not support your interests, do not support them. I am saying to the Bahamian people, without a doubt, Mr. Hubert Minnis and the FNM do not support workers. I can say without a doubt, that the Progressive Liberal Party has put their money where their mouth is
And I will be, if I'm asked to recommend to the Bahamian workers, I will recommend that they support the Progressive Liberal Party. I have not been a supporter of them for many, many, many years. Anyone who knows me, right? Right now, today, I am as happy or happier with with Mr. Brave Davis and the PLP. I'm more happy than I used to be when I was a supporter of the Free National Movement. And there was never a bigger F&M than me.
Now, listen, I haven't read the MOU. Is the MOU publicly available? And
yes.
What is the union or the elements that you have responsibility for? What is the union prepared to do if the PLP don't adhere to the commitments made in that MOU?
You know, I am not going to boggle by that because I have the confidence in Mr. Davis, right? I have that confidence. But if for any reason we run into a roadblock, there will be a dress, right? I don't think we'll be hasty or anything. There will be dress. I don't know why whatever you are thinking about that may happen. But as it stands now, I am willing, we are prepared to give the PLP an opportunity to get us involved in the governance of this country by engaging us. At least they're prepared to engage us. The other party, the F&M, nothing happened for them. Listen here, all of the unions in this country, all of us are having problem with the F&M. All, Aaron.
Mr. Morris, from my perspective, right? From my perspective, I don't see the problem being the F&M. I see the problem being the political culture. And I think there's a great danger that when the PLP, if the PLP win, when they sit in the seat, they're going to adopt the same attitude as the current. That is my concern.
Well, you're entitled to feel that you are those of us who would have signed, those leaders of us who would have signed that memorandum of understanding, which is the workers' agenda. We see otherwise. And I rebuke that, Aaron. I rebuke that.
Now listen,
I am looking for success and progress.
I used to work for my Grammy Corinne Mitchell. And every day she used to fire me and remind me it's no severance pay. And every day before I go home, she used to look me in my face and smile and say, now remember to be awake on time tomorrow.
Yeah.
It's just some contracts. You just can't seem to get the...
I hear you, Aaron, but you know, we have to move with what we have in front of us. And right now we have a memorandum of understanding that we believe the Progressive Liberal Party would adhere to. And that is the direction in which we as trade union leaders are moving in. And we are going to encourage others to do likewise. You for me, I for you. If you don't support me, I don't support you. Simple.
Now, Mr. Morris, when is the trade union, when are you all going to start putting out a journal documenting your work and your ideas for younger workers and employees and members of the labor movement to get a sense of what has been done, what its impact is today, and the best ways to move forward?
Well, you know, we have a bit of work that has already started, and it is something that we will continue to work on. We have had that discussion on ensuring that those documentations are put together, and part of our discussions centers around taking the House of Labour to where we would like it to be. And that is where you're likely to find all of that information once that work has been done.
Absolutely. Now, I got a question. You may not be allowed to answer it.
And may not be?
Well,
what's that?
Wait till you hear it.
Okay.
So, you said you met with the Coalition of Independence.
Yes, ma'am.
Now, the Coalition of Independence say they're giving everybody $100,000 a year.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody over the age of 21 or 22. Mm-hmm. $100,000 a year.
Mm-hmm.
What type of, like, what did their labor platform look like? You know how hard somebody have to work for everybody else to get $100,000 per year?
Yes.
So I want to know, I wanted to ask you if you could give me a sense of what ideas they were bringing to the table in terms of enhancing the labor movement.
Well, You know, there, you will find consistency as related to what should be done for labor by all of them, the major to the ability to earn this money. Mm-hmm. You know, part of what they've been putting forward is the wealth of this country. They believe that it should be able to generate sufficient funds to do some stuff. Mm-hmm. The extent to it, I cannot speak to.
Absolutely.
But I hear what they're saying, and there may be some merit to it, but I don't know. But there's consistency across the board, generally.
In the messaging.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So we're almost out of time. I want you to leave a word with for the workers as they step into this election.
Well, I will say this, Aaron. Tomorrow, the 16th of September, is perhaps one of the most important date in the history of the Bahamas since independence, since Labor Day. When we look at where we are poised to go with success at the polls by the Progressive Liberal Party, we will be in a position to really get back on track to give attention to the Bahamian workers, the Bahamian people generally. And so I would wish to say to them, I know time is short now. If you haven't had a chance to look at the workers' agenda, try to make an effort to do it, because in that workers' agenda supports you. And any political party who's prepared to support the workers' agenda, they are the persons that you should support. And right now, without a doubt, is prepared to support the workers' agenda. They have it in writing, signed too, but we can't say the same for the Free National Movement.
Thank you.
And so, thank vote you. Your interest, you for me, I for you. Please consider that. Of course, you know, as workers, voters, you can do as you like, but I'm suggesting that you consider supporting yourselves.
Thank you, Mr. Morris. I got to go. You have my, and I have a new young intern, and I can't disappoint him this morning because he's doing a fabulous job. So I got to read this.
Thank you very much.
I got to read this last text. It's sort of a counterbalance to what you're saying. And the text says, Aaron, these union guys are looking out for themselves, not the workers. Why are they signing secret MOUs? The union problem started far prior to the FNM. So tell him to be balanced in his presentation. Also, the tripartite agreement says the government, the union, and the private sector have to agree in order for there to be an increase in minimum wage. How then can the leader of the opposition, with hopes of being the PM, make a unilateral guarantee on labor issues by all parties? Thank you, Texter, for that text. It just came in, so I couldn't have read it earlier in the show to build context. Thank you.
On your show, Aaron.
Thank you, sir. Thank you so much. And to the audience, tomorrow is the big day. Tomorrow is the big day. The most important thing is to remember this. You go out there to vote, you vote for you. You're not obligated to vote for anybody but you. And the only thing I'd ask you to do is to think about your community when you vote. The people should be centered in the process of governance. And we should not accept anything less than that. Otherwise, we are still living on a plantation. Tune in tomorrow for No Politics Thursday, on the day of the general election. Stay tuned to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. It's 11 a.m. Levon Miller is up next with Unleash. Have a wonderful day, Bahamians. Stay safe today. Stay safe tomorrow. Love each other.